I just extend a warm welcome to you all this morning. We've been going through the book of Joshua, and today we're going to take a break. Well, we're going to carry on with Joshua today, but we'll be taking a break after today from our exploration of this wonderful book. Following on from here next week, we'll begin a series on the advent of the Lord, which is very appropriate leading up to Christmas. Today we're going to be looking at the defeat of the Israelites when they go up to try and take a city called Ai. Now, by all appearances, Ai should have been a walk in the park in comparison to Jericho. It's a very small city that existed there, and the Israelites must have felt that this was going to be easy. And so after Jericho, and seeing that the Lord was on their side and just how powerful the Lord was in terms of prosecuting these conflicts against the Canaanites in the land of Canaan, they must have felt that there wasn't going to be any problems here. But there is, and it reminded me of a verse from the New Testament which says, "It's the little foxes that spoil the vine." And Ai, while it might look small, turned out to be a defeat for the Israelites. They were devastated by this, as we will see in our reading today. Joshua remonstrating at this defeat and how this was going to affect them in terms of them being able to move on through the land. And so this defeat came about because of the sin of a man named Achan. And what he did was he took spoil from Jericho against the express command of the Lord. And this opened up the Israelites to this attack from the men of Ai and the subsequent defeat. And we shall see that what followed on was an examination, an intense examination of what could have possibly happened in order for this defeat to have occurred. Achan was found out. And for him, his family, his sons, his daughters, all his livestock were stoned as a result. Also, everything that he possessed was burned along with the bodies. So the consequences were dire. They're also dire for the Israelites. 36 men were slain as they fled from the men of Ai. And so what this story in general teaches us is that victory is only a victory when we remain in the Lord's word, when we remain true to the Lord's word. And so that when we move outside of this, outside of the commandments of the Lord, we open ourselves up for attack. We're going to be exploring that idea today, and particularly we're going to be looking at Achan and what he is within us all. This morning we are reading the 7th chapter of Joshua, reading the whole chapter, verses 1 to 26. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burnt against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, "Go up and spy out the country." So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few." So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men for they chased them from before the gate as far as Sherebim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?" So the Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived. And they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you any more, unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, 'Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow.' Because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by households, and the household which the Lord takes shall come man by man. Then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel." So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the clan of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarites, and he brought the family of the Zarites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. Then he brought the household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Now Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent, with silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. Our reading from the Heavenly Doctrines this morning is from the work, The Arcana Celestia, number 5135. Profanation, and hence the taking away of good and truth, are signified in the spiritual sense by the deed of Achan, who took of the accursed things a mantle of Babylon, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, and hid them in the earth in the midst of his tent, and who therefore was stoned, and all the things were burned, as is related in Joshua. Jehovah said unto Joshua, Israel has sinned, they have transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, and they have taken of the accursed thing, and have stolen, lied, and have put it among their vessels. By accursed things were meant falsities and evils, which were in no wise to be mixed up with holy things. The mantle of Babylon, shekels of silver, and wedge of gold are in the spiritual sense species of falsity. Hiding them under the earth in the midst of the tent signified a commixture with holy things. A tent denotes what is holy. A thief denotes the evil of merit, for he who takes away from the Lord what is his and claims it for himself is called a thief. And this evil closes the way and prevents good and truth from the Lord from flowing in. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, and the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah took of the accursed thing, so that the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. So verse 1 sets for us the context of what is to follow. We are given an insight into what it is that sits behind this defeat at Ai. We learn there that there is something terribly wrong in the midst of Israel. Achan has taken of the accursed thing, and this has an effect on the whole of Israel. In violation of the Lord's direct command, he took spoil out of Jericho. And of that spoil that he took that which was to be set aside for the Lord. For all the metals, if you recall, were to be set aside for the tabernacle, for the worship of the Lord. And so he took what was the Lord's to himself, and he hid it within his tent under the earth. Not only did he take the silver and the gold, but he took a Babylonian garment, a Babylonian mantle. And we're told that he took them in verse 21. We're told that he took them because he saw them and he desired them. He lusted after them. Now this desire, and in particular acting on this desire, brought danger to the whole of the Israelite nation, to the whole camp of Israel. And in fact, the consequences were dire. They were dire for the 36 men that lost their lives as they fled from before the men of Ai. And it says that they descended. And so as they descended, they were slain. And of course, for Achan and his family, the consequences were clear enough. Along with them and his livestock, they were stoned. And then, after being stoned to death, everything that he possessed, along with those bodies, were burned. All because Achan lusted after the spoil of Jericho. Now, it's interesting that the name Achan means troubler. So it's appropriate. And it comes from a root word, a root Hebrew word, which means to pervert or to make crooked. And so what he represents is a deep-seated tendency within our proprium to claim what is of the Lord for ourselves. And when we get a hold of that, this story begins to fit together. We found out that, well, let's think about Achan. He was an Israelite, like all the other Israelites around him. He was in the midst of the sons of Israel. He doesn't stand out. For all intents and purposes, he looks no different to anyone else. He blends in well, as does this tendency to claim what is of the Lord for ourselves. It is difficult to see. And in particular, it is in the midst of the sons of Israel. Now, the sons of Israel are truths that teach what the spiritual life is all about. And Achan is found in their midst. And so Achan has this tendency to claim what is of the Lord for ourselves, surrounds itself with what looks legitimate, belonging to the spiritual life. It goes unnoticed because it sits within our efforts to do good, to think what is true, in our efforts to love the Lord and love our neighbor. Now we recall that Jericho represents the idea, when it is filled with Canaanites, that we can save ourselves, that we are good enough, that we can merit what is of heaven. And that city had to be destroyed, all the beliefs tied to that city. But still there is this desire that sits at a much deeper level that claims what is of the Lord for itself. Very difficult for us to detect, but it is there. And the Word teaches us it is there because of ourselves. We just won't see it. It's a desire that is intoxicating. It's a desire that brings delight and pleasure at a certain level. And we know from the heavenly doctrines that what brings us delight and pleasure we call good, even when it is evil. And so we need the Lord's Word to point out and illustrate for us these tendencies that exist. This tendency to call what feels good, good. This is something that is constantly brought up throughout our teachings. We need to be able to see that what feels good isn't necessarily good, and it needs to be placed under the scrutiny of the Lord's Word, under His truth. Because this feeling of something being good blinds us to its evil quality. So Achan violated the command of the Lord, and he took the gold and the silver, which was to be given over for the Lord. And he also coveted a Babylonian garment. Now the garments of Babylon represent false reasonings and justifications we make that delude us into thinking that we're okay as we are, that we don't need to change. The garments of Babylon have to do with the love of self, the promotion of self-interest. And there are countless ways that we can promote our own interests and make them look, at least to those around us, and perhaps to ourselves, as something legitimate. We can do that. And we're engaged in it often. But we need to know that this tendency exists if we are ever to be able to deal with it. If Achan is to be brought out into the open, then we need to accept what the Lord's Word teaches is in fact true. What it teaches concerning the opprobrium is true, regardless of how we might feel. Forms of this garment might take a delight, taking delight in gossip, while clothing it with a false projection that we are concerned for the person's welfare. Saying something hurtful, uncharitable, and justifying it by saying that we're only pointing out to the person the truth they need to hear. Lying to protect our self-image or reputation in the eyes of others. These activities and behaviors are the Babylonian garment. It is a garment that conceals the truth of what is hidden within. All desires, thoughts, and behaviors that work at justifying forms of selfishness, that promote ourselves over others, that promote our views over the views of others, is what is meant by the Babylonian garment. This gold and silver, what should be dedicated to the Lord, that Achan takes, represents claiming merit, which is what this whole start of this whole campaign is all about. Right from Shittim, where the spies were sent out, through to Jericho, now up to Ai. It's all about this tendency to claim merit, to get a sense that we can save ourselves, that we don't need to do the work of self-examination and repentance. In the heavenly doctrines, that's called faith alone. This claiming merit, believing that the good we do is from ourselves, that the truths that we think make us better, richer, more prominent, or more spiritual than others. This is what is meant by spiritual theft. And what it leads to at both an individual level and an organizational level is a tendency towards self-righteousness, towards pride and vanity. And it needs rooting out because it dwells within our own tent. It dwells within the proprium. And until it is seen and dealt with, we will suffer because of it. So how is Achan rooted out? Well, there has to be a willingness to work with spiritual truths in our life. So it is an ongoing process, this work of self-examination. We need to work with what we can see. Achan, at this stage of the campaign, is hidden. What he represents is hidden. But Ai stands there, and we can see Ai, and we know that we have to go up and we have to confront this aspect within ourselves. Now, Ai represents worldly wisdom, false ideas, worldly knowledge, and its meaning is one of an overturned heap. And the idea here is that it is inverted. And of course, the heavenly doctrines teach that before we have truths and that we begin to work from truths, we are inverted. We put more emphasis and value on the things of the world than we do on what is spiritual. And so Ai, we can see. We know that there is this tendency, and so we can follow the Lord's word and we can begin to examine it. Now, geographically, Ai is described as being near a place called Beth-Avon. Now, worldly wisdom, worldly knowledge, tends, as I said, towards self-righteousness and pride. Pride in our own intelligence, our own abilities, self-confidence that separates us from the Lord. And all this is vanity from a spiritual perspective. And Beth-Avon means house of vanity. And so we see Ai and Beth-Avon are closely related. And so this tendency within ourselves to take pride, to take ownership of what is the Lord's, leads to this sense of being self-confident. And perhaps this is what is illustrated in the Israelites saying they only needed a few to take Ai. So we need to take truths and begin to use them to assess how we think, the beliefs that we are actually living from, not what we profess with our mouths, but how we actually conduct ourselves. What beliefs do these behaviors actually find their source in? We can only make that examination from the Lord's Word, from the truths that He has given us. And so the process, if we are willing to engage with it, if we're willing to look at the AI in our own lives, when we begin to consider that perhaps we look to worldly wisdom at times over heavenly wisdom, when we begin to do that, this process begins to get underway, and the manifestation of Achan is pending. Now, on the surface, AI seems of little consequence. Victory should have been a breeze in the estimation of those Israelites. Compared to Jericho, it's a minor obstacle. And if nothing else, it does teach us that what may appear small on the surface could well go back to something much more malignant lying deeper there underneath. So, in terms of the spiritual life and this work of self-examination and repentance, we shouldn't take what appears to be small evils, small false ideas, we shouldn't take these things lightly, because they often are linked to something much bigger. We need to bring everything into the light of the Lord's Word, into the light of His truths. This is what the work of self-examination is all about. And it's what makes the new church the new church. The ability to reflect from spiritual truths on the nature and quality of what's passing through our mind as its thoughts and affections. Spiritual life involves times of being up and times of being down. And if anything, Jericho is an up time, but Ai is a down time. And so we see this alternation. And what this alternation is an alternation between being in the things of the Lord and the things of self. And this cyclic kind of alternation is very much a feature of the spiritual life. Cycles of night and day, cycles of seasons, of segments of the day, of being in victory and being in defeat. This is the cycle of life. But the idea, as far as our regeneration goes, is to come into a place of peace through that work, and through dealing with what these cycles bring up, so that we can come into a place where we are in a much more steady state, a state of inner peace, despite what is happening around us on the outside of our life. This is what the Lord wants to bring us to, a state of constancy. So the fact that there are these emotional highs and lows teaches us that in all extremes of emotion, however you clothe it, there is something of self. And that is why the extremes of emotion are experienced. But it's very difficult for us to give attention to what aspect of self might be present when we're on a high, but it is much easier to give reflection when we're on a downer. This is the nature of life. And so we have to go through these alternating states in order for the Lord to lift us out of those things that hold us bound in those selfish desires and false beliefs. So this aspect of self is represented by Achan. Now Joshua's response to the defeat is interesting in contrast with the Lord's word to him. Joshua's response was that he was down on himself. And you can see here that there is a sense of self-pity and real struggle and a sense of being paralyzed, a sense of not being able to do anything. Joshua is wallowing in the dust. He is crying out, remonstrating before the Lord, what's going to become of them now? The Canaanites are going to hear of this and they are going to become easy prey. Canaanites, he said, would surround them and wipe their name out. And so you have this idea of Joshua in deep sorrow about what has happened. There is, in states of defeat, when we're feeling down, there is this sense of self-pity that rises up. There is a sense of woe is me that comes about. There is a sense that we haven't met the expectations that the Lord has for us. We go into states of negative self-talk. I'm no good. I'll never make it. You know, why has the Lord chosen me to lead this life? Etc., etc. It's different for us all, but the flavor of it is the same. It's to keep us down. And so all of that stuff is straight out of the hells. It's not from the Lord. The Lord is only ever wanting to lift us up. And so in verse 10 we read, "So the Lord said to Joshua, 'Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned and transgressed my covenant.'" You see, sorrow, if we wallow in it, is just as destructive to the spiritual life as anything else described in this chapter. What the Lord went on to say is that Israel was on the verge of being cut off. And so, what is it that they had to do? Well, don't wallow in feeling sorry. Do something. The Lord tells us what must be done. You have to undergo a process of self-examination. Those tribes had to be brought before Joshua. Those households, those families, man by man, it had to be looked into and investigated. And that is the only way that Achan could be uncovered. There had to be this process of self-examination and a willingness to do what the Lord commanded in terms of dealing with it. That's called repentance. And so all that belonged to Achan, once it had been exposed, was taken. That which was living was stoned, and all his possessions, they were all burnt. Now, I just want you to switch here into the literal sense for a minute. Because there is an illustration in the literal sense that powerfully gets us in touch with this story. And it has to do with Achan's family being stoned. Now, here was a man who took for himself those things that he lusted after. And what was the effect of that? The effect was that his sons, his daughters, his livestock, all of that was to be stoned along with him, who was the guilty party. Now, how does the natural man respond to that? Get in touch with this sense. How does the natural man respond to this idea that what is innocent along with this man is to suffer the consequences? Because often when we read the word, we come to some story like this, and we get a sense that it's unjust, that it's not fair. And that, my friends, is the natural man thinking it knows better than the Lord. It's the self-same thing. It is the natural man thinking that it is above the word of the Lord. Whatever we understand from the word, as far as truths go and their application to our life, we need to follow them. We need to follow them. We need to put down our own tendency to rationalize things, to justify things when we know that things aren't quite right. Because if we don't do that, then Achan will lie at the heart of all that we do, and the risk is the spiritual life will be destroyed. He needs to be exposed, and he can only be exposed. Selfish tendencies can only be exposed if we're willing to use the Lord's word to reflect on the quality of our life. Amen.